Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is my colleague at MRM, Eric Johnson. And as we often do when we do a fan mail show, and of course fan mail is in quotation marks, we want to preface it by saying that as you can imagine, some of the things that we say regarding what we believe and what Mormons believe is not always accepted readily by a lot of Latter-day Saints, and some of them tend to view their disagreements in an interesting way. But we want to take this time to just look at some of these statements that have been sent to us via email. And so we do have an email today from a person named Sean. We'll let the email speak for itself as to whether this guy is or is not a Mormon. But go ahead, Eric.
Let's read what he says here. He says, "Look here, you idiots. I'm not a member of the Mormon Church, but what you have said about the church is bleep."
It's bovine excrement is the word, folks, if you want to know what he had in there.
You lie through your teeth, and you think you are better than they are. What makes you better than they are?
Oh, now, let me stop right there, because for him to assume that just because we disagree with the teachings of the LDS Church somehow isn't translated as being that we are better than Mormons, that's not true. I don't know where he's getting this. It's probably just the anger that's coming through when he's typing. He should have let this sit for a few days before he sent it. Maybe he would have changed some of the content. But I don't know why he's drawing that conclusion, because we're certainly not saying that. If anything, we understand as Christians that we are sinful people. We have our shortcomings. We don't know everything. And we are certainly not lording that over Latter-day Saints. We are merely wanting to have a discussion about the things that in which we disagree. Go ahead.
Is your disagreement, Bill, against the Mormon, really, should it be considered to be making you feel better than the person who you're talking to? Because if that's the case, then Sean is saying that he's better than we are because he understands something that we don't.
You would think so. Now, see, that's another thing that a lot of Mormons who write like this don't seem to think through. So hopefully, folks, by going through some of these emails, it will hopefully, if you're a Latter-day Saint, it'll help you, we hope, to perfect your arguments. So,
and he continues on, he says, "Is it that you think you can get to heaven just by believing in Christ?"
Well, we do. We do believe that justification is by faith. We've never hinted that we don't believe that. We've been very bold in that statement because that's what Paul taught. But again, does that mean that we think that we're better than Mormons? I don't understand the connection. I think that's a bad argument on his part.
And then he continues, "Do you think that you can be the biggest bleep in the world, but if you believe you're saved?" Now, this is the old idea that you can go out and sin and do whatever you want and still be a Christian, and that's kind of the misnomer that people have had
on
Christianity.
Obviously, this person really doesn't understand what the Christian position is, even though later on they're going to give the impression that they do.
And he writes, "Try reading James chapter 2 and pay very close attention to verses 19 and 20, which talks about that it's works that are more important than the faith."
Yeah, faith without works is dead. Now, here's what's interesting. He's telling us to read James chapter 2 as if we never have. Gee, you've never read James chapter 2. Mm. Never read that one. Boy, that's a new one for me. But the funny part, well, the tragic part of this is he's talking about you have to have these good works, and yet look at the content of his own email, which I think most Latter-day Saints would say is not a very good example of good works.
Filled with bad words and
oh, my goodness,
profanity.
This guy's language is something else.
And then he says, "That's the reason I never joined your church. You aren't really Christians because you spend all your time telling false lies about other churches and trying to tear other people and their religions down. I ask you, is that what Christ taught? No, it isn't. You are about as far away from Christ as anybody.
Well, let's challenge that, because much of Christ's ministry was spent in correcting, especially the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, the scribes and such. He spent a lot of time correcting them, and he was pretty harsh if you look at Matthew chapter 23.
Sons of your father, the devil, your whitewashed tombs, you're clean on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones.
We've not used language like that when we talk to Mormons. Jesus did. Now, I don't say that that gives us license to emulate Jesus in all those particulars, because as I've often said before, some people think, well, because Jesus was really harsh on people sometimes, that gives us a license to be really harsh all the time. And I would correct you if you think that, because remember, Jesus said things out of purity. We are sinful people, and we can tend to let the flesh get involved in that. So we need to be on guard and not think that just because Jesus may have used words like that, that all of a sudden that says that we can go ahead and start calling names, because I would say that there was probably a little bit of flesh involved, and it isn't as pure as what Jesus was intending.
And when he mentions telling false lies about other churches, this is the thing we hear a lot, Bill. People will throw out a blanket statement and say, it's just full of lies. What's your response when somebody lays out that blanket accusation?
Quite simply, I want to know what lie they think we've told. What have we actually said that they think is a lie? Because I'll tell you something. I read a lot of blog sites that Mormons have. I don't comment on them, but I do read them. And it is amazing at how many Mormons don't know Mormon doctrine. And yet they make all these comments and they're just not based in fact themselves. We try very hard to back up what we say with references from their own sources. So when a Mormon says, well, you're lying, there have been several times when I've challenged them and said, well, where have we lied? And rarely, but sometimes I do get an example from a Latter-day Saint and they're incorrect. And I need to show them that what we said was not a lie. It was just that they didn't know that about it. And here's what's interesting. Mormons do have a tendency that if they don't know something about their faith that someone brings up, the first reaction is to say, oh, that's a lie. Latter-day Saint, can I caution you? Christian, can I caution you? When somebody brings up something that you've never heard, the first response should not be, absolutely, if you've never heard it before, you should not say, oh, that's not true, that's a lie. It should be, really? Could you show me that so that I can look at it myself? I've done that many times with Latter-day Saints. I've often asked them, well, where did you get this? Can I read it myself? Send me the reference. I'd like to read it also. It should not be an immediate reaction of, that is a lie, because you could be wrong on that.
And I would add on there, Bill, when he says false lies about other churches, I like to ask the question, could you tell me one lie that we've told? Or when they say the Bible is filled with contradictions, I like to ask the question, could you show me one? Because with that, then we can take a look at it and we can investigate whether or not we're telling a lie about the church or whether or not this is actually a Bible contradiction.
And again, too, I'm always very cautious to use the word lie to begin with. If I'm going to accuse somebody of lying, you can be pretty sure when it comes to me, I've done my homework and my ducks are in a row before I say this, because it could be that the individual is just ignorant of this and has made a comment. And if they're ignorant, then I wouldn't be one to call them a liar, because there's a difference between saying something out of ignorance and knowing what you're saying is a falsehood. That is what a lie is.
Excellent point. So, he goes on and says, each year more and more evidence is found in Central and South America that proves the things in the Book of Mormon are true.
Well, if he's going to hold to that position, he's just kind of given his hand as to what theory he holds for the Book of Mormon, which is known as the limited geography theory. Unfortunately for this individual, I don't know if he understands that his own church will not officially back him up, at least not at this point. They have not come out with any definitive statement on where the Book of Mormon lands are. Now, Monson could easily do that. He could easily get up in conference and make a pronouncement. But Monson, I think, knows, because he's a little bit of a politician, I'm sure, and he knows that if he does make a statement, either for a limited geography theory down in Central America or a heartland model in North America, he's going to divide his flock, because Mormons are not in agreement as to where the Book of Mormon lands are located.
Earlier in the letter, Bill, he said that he was not a member of the Mormon Church, but here he tells us exactly where he's at. And he's not a member yet, but he is going to be, because he says, I'm going to be baptized next week, and I know I have found the true Church of Christ. What do you do about that? And he knows that he's found the true Church of Christ.
Yeah, Mormons will often say that they know something to be true. And yet when you ask them, how do you come to know that? It's usually a subjective feeling. Or, I prayed about it and the Holy Ghost told me it was true. And usually my response to that is, well, how do you know it was really the Holy Ghost? I mean, how do you know that? I mean, what kind of feeling will really tell you that it's true? And what do you do with all the ex-Mormons who had that feeling at one time also? There's a lot of ex-Mormons out there that no longer believe Mormonism, and they left the church not because of some moral failure, as many Mormons would like to imply, but because they found out that it just wasn't truthful. Its history was not truthful. Its doctrines were not truthful. And so they had a feeling like that before also. What do you do with them?
I find it to be interesting because he writes, I think from his father's, from his email, but he says this, I'm assuming he's a younger person, but the evangelical church is false and always will be. I'm just wondering, Bill, how much study you think he's done on the actual Christian church?
If it's like most Latter-day Saints, it's probably very little, because when we have Mormons tell us what we believe, oftentimes they get it wrong. And this is again, I think, a good caution for us as Christians to not assume what the Mormon might believe. It's best to ask them what they believe on a given topic and take it from there and not make this caricature of what you think they should believe or what they're supposed to believe.
If all his information is coming from the Mormon missionaries who are visiting him, he probably hasn't done a whole lot of study. So I would ask the question right there, okay, can you tell me one of the teachings that's false of the evangelical church? And let's discuss that.
Right.
He concludes this way, Bill. He says, I hope you can find the truth in this life and that you won't have to stand in front of Christ with your head down knowing that you persecuted his church. You still have a chance, just like the Apostle Paul did.
Well, and I don't want to be too flippant on this, but if I still have a chance, I could always get right in the next life, can't I? I mean, doesn't Mormonism, I keep hearing Mormons say, I have an opportunity to get it right in the next life, and so I'm going to end up in what? The terrestrial kingdom, which, according to Mormon leaders, is where most Mormons are going to end up. So
he has a lot more to lose by joining the Mormon church and staying there than possibly joining Christianity, because in Christianity, and I'm not saying that's the reason to join Christianity, but he should do his homework first before joining this church, because if you end up joining the Mormon church, you have an impossible goal, which is what the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, is all about.
In the last couple of seconds, let me just make a comparison to what we talked about yesterday and how homosexuals argue their case. If you disagree, they combat you by accusing you of all these sorts of things. Notice he's doing the same exact thing here.
Exactly right.
There's no difference, really, in what he's trying to accomplish.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.